So good to see you again. Turn in your Bibles with me this morning to Ephesians chapter 4. In just a few seconds, we will begin in verse 20. Well, matter of fact, let's just read it, shall we? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. This morning, we're only going to cover two verses, and that'll be verses 20 and 21. Very, very important verses this morning. You know, remember that Paul the Apostle, he wrote Ephesians from prison. One of the greatest epistles, I think, probably, well, as W.O. Carver said, one of the greatest pieces of writing in the history of mankind, and I agree with that. It's absolutely incredible. Remember that this wonderful epistle that we've been studying, you know, the first three chapters, doctrinal, they tell us our position that we have in Christ. We know who we are now. So we take our position, and now in chapters 4, 5, and 6, we walk out our position. We turn it into practice, if you will. We discover and experience then the riches that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we left off last time with in verses 17 through 19. Some of the most horrific verses found in God's word concerning those that are lost. It's heartbreaking. I don't even want to reread those scriptures, if you don't mind, this morning. But you know, the walk of the lost, I mean, that's what it used to be for us, that life of emptiness, a life that has absolutely no purpose. And so, you know, Paul there in Ephesus, when you remember that Ephesus was full of spiritism and witchcraft and prognosticators and wizards and all sorts of things. And Paul, when he spent nearly 3 years, I believe, in Ephesus. And remember that from the preaching, when the word of God was heard and when the word of God is believed, it says that many of those who had practiced magic, They all got together, and now that they're born again, they brought all these books out, these books containing incantations and spells and astrology and all of it, and they burned, piled them up. It's worth 50,000 pieces of silver. That's enough for 50,000 days of a man's wage. Think about it. One person, 50,000 days. And so they burned all of those books. So there was a great move of God in this city. So Paul tells them, like we learned last time, he says, listen, you're not like those in verses 17 through 19. You don't have the walk of the lost. You have now a different kind of walk. So he says something in verse 20. This morning I want to talk about, like Jesus said, learning from our Lord or learning from Jesus. Now let's look at verse 20. Paul says, but you, in contrast with verses 17 through 19, he says, you've not so learned Christ the Messiah, Christ the Anointed One. He says, oh no, you've not learned that at all. In two verses, it's a masterpiece of contrast, the way Paul puts the walk of the lost and the walk of the saved in context. And I love what he does. And it's what we should always remember. He doesn't point the believers in Ephesus to a creed or any kind of denomination or any type of oath or making promises. He points them to one person and one person only, and that is Jesus Christ. Christ is Christianity. And without Christ, there is no church. There is no Christianity at all. And Jesus is our perfect example to put off the old man and to put on the new man. Jesus is all that we need. So he says, you haven't learned Christ that way, not at all. And I love that he says, but you. Now that means them, but it also means us as well, that we haven't. See, we're believers. We don't walk the way the Gentiles walk, because now we're new creations in Christ. And thank God that we have been redeemed from an empty life. Not only are we new creations, we're citizens of heaven. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing which is in the heavenlies, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're chosen in him before the foundations of the earth. We're sealed with the Spirit of God. We are a purchased possession. Our sins as far as the east is from the west. We have learned our Lord. That's what we're doing. Now listen, we now, knowing all those things, it takes us really back to verse 1 of chapter 4. We are called to what? Walk worthy of our calling. Remember, the word worthy is a picture in the Greek of a set of scales. So on this side, you would have doctrine. On this side, you would have application of the doctrine. So equal in doctrine, equal in application. If you only know doctrine, then you're not balanced. You will never have a balanced walk. You have to know doctrine and then apply doctrine. So you're hearers of God's word and doers of God's word equal a perfect, balanced, worthy walk before God. And only those who are born again, only those that are filled with the Holy Spirit, only those who are in Christ Jesus can have a worthy walk. There's no way, it's an impossibility for the world, those that are in Adam, those that are lost, it's an impossibility for those to ascend to our level. I say that not with a prideful thing, but with it's just truth. We are, our position, loved one, we are seated with Christ Jesus in the heavenlies, the Bible teaches. Now, they can't ascend to our position, but what's sad is that the believer in his walk, even the church in their conduct, they can leave their position, even though they're still there, and they can descend and start looking like the world and acting like the world and living like the world and being conformed to the world. Let us pray that never, that we never take that journey, that we stay where we're seated with Christ Jesus. So he says, you haven't learned or so learned Christ. You know, if you think about the lost and us, those who believe, death and life, there's not anything we have in common. We were dead, but now we've been made alive in Christ Jesus. We're no longer dead in trespasses and sins. You know, and you take darkness and light. You know, there's nothing, no common ground. The Bible teaches us that Jesus said, Jesus, I'm the light of the world, and he who follows me will not walk in darkness but have the light of life. The Bible says in Matthew 5:14, we are the light of the world. We have nothing in common with darkness. The Bible, if you look, just if you're in chapter 4, look right over to chapter 5. Look at verse 8. But now you were once darkness, but you're not anymore. You're light. You're children of light. Walk as children of the light. Do what you what God has equipped you to do. The Bible tells us in Peter, it tells us that we have been called out of darkness into his glorious, marvelous light. Let us walk in light, loved one. So it tells us here that you've not so learned Christ, and in contrast again with those who haven't. Now, listen carefully. What Paul just says, he didn't say that you've learned about Jesus or about Christ. He says that you've learned about a person. You know, today, I mean, a person can learn about anything. They can learn, Davy Crockett or whatever, know all about Davy Crockett, even though he's dead, but they don't really know Davy Crockett. Does that make sense? Or, you know, a person may know today, you know, all about Christ even. This, I know this is what Jesus taught. I've studied it. Or I know that he was born of a virgin, or the Bible says that, or we know about his death, resurrection, ascension, and so forth. But they have never learned Christ. There's a huge difference. See, you can learn all about dead people. You can learn about Elvis. A lot of people still love Elvis. They sing his songs. They imitate. There's more Elvis imitators than ever before. You know, they sing his songs. They have his moves down. They may know everything about that they can possibly know, but they don't really know him. He is dead. But see, Jesus is alive, and we have a personal living relationship with him. So to learn Christ, when Paul says that, it's more than doctrine, if you will. We need to have doctrine, but it's not just facts. It's about where we have an intimate, personal, living relationship with our Lord, our Savior, our King, the one who loves us, the one who's coming again for us, the one who's seated at the right hand of God, having all power and all authority in heaven and upon this earth. So it says, if indeed you have heard, and they had heard, just like we have. Someone, Paul preached, of course, to the Ephesians, and they heard about Jesus Christ. So it says, if you have heard him, though, meaning Jesus. Now listen, there is a gigantic difference between listening and hearing. You know, I mean, you know you've experienced this, that you can have someone talking to you. You know their lips are moving. You even hear sounds. But the fact of the matter is, you're listening, but you don't hear a word they are saying. Now, husbands, if you're married, you know exactly what I mean. You know, your wife can be talking, and you don't hear a word she's saying. Just ask her, and she'll tell you, okay? Now, with all that being said, a person, they may listen, but they may never, ever hear. We tell people all the time, you tell people all the time, you must be born again. Jesus died for your sins. Jesus is coming again. Hell is real. Heaven is real. There is a future judgment. Now, they may listen to all of that, but they're not hearing it. See, there's a huge difference between listening and hearing. Jesus said in Matthew 7:24, he says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the winds and the floods and all the storms, they all came, but that house didn't fall. It says, and then there are those who hear the word of God, but don't do the word of God. Now that's a person who just listens. They didn't hear it. He who heareth the word of God and doeth it not, I'll liken to him unto a fool who built his house upon the sand, or built his life upon the sand. And the storms of life came, and Jesus said, great was the fall of that house. Loved one, listen, there's a big difference between I'm listening or I'm hearing. To hear Jesus is the greatest, most important thing in all of the world, in the universe, is to hear him. You see, we have to be so careful on how we hear and what we hear. Jesus told us in Matthew 4:23, if anyone has ears to hear, not ears to listen, to hear the truth. He says, then Jesus said, take heed what you hear, for with the measure that you use it, it'll be measured back to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. Listen. Hearing and doing is one act. It's not two acts. You can't be equal in doctrine, remember? You have to, doctrine, in other words, you hear the word, you do the word. That's one act. That's not two acts. So if I said, somebody said, Bill, sit down, I would sit down. Why? I heard and I did. It's one act, and that's what the Lord is telling us right here. So Paul said, you have heard him. Every believer has heard the voice of the Good Shepherd at least once in their life. And that was when he called you, the moment of conversion, when you said, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Jesus said this. He says in John 10:27, my sheep hear, they don't listen, my sheep hear my voice, and they do something. He says, I know them. I have a personal relationship with them. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. And he says, and they follow me. If a person listens to Jesus, that doesn't imply that they are following Jesus. To hear Jesus, listen, when we hear the Lord, he says, my sheep hear me. I know them. They follow me. How did Jesus tell us to follow him? He says, deny yourself. Take up your cross daily. And come after me or follow me, travel with me. Let's have the adventure of Christianity together. That's what he's saying. Jesus said in John 10:4, he says, my sheep, he said, they follow me. They know my voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but they will run from him, for they do not know the voices of strangers. Loved one, listen, it is so important to if we hear the word of God, that we do the word of God. James 1:22, be ye not hearers only, but doers of the word, deceiving yourself. That is such an important walk in our life. You hear the word of God, you do the word of God. If you only listen, and you'll never do. See, true believing is when you really hear it, and then you believe it, and then you act upon it. He says, and you have been also, you'll not only just heard him, you have been taught by him, or literally the Greek should read, you have been taught or instructed in him, not by him, in him. Jesus is our instructor through the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. Whenever Paul was praying over in Ephesians chapter 1, remember in verse 17, he was praying about the church at Ephesus and us as well. He was praying and he said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the Spirit, it should be a capital S, meaning the Holy Spirit, not the little, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in what? In the knowledge of him. The word knowledge there speaks of intimacy, of truly having a real relationship one with another. No difference if, I mean, if someone was standing here when I was talking, there's an intimacy, there's a relationship. So Paul, when he was praying, he wasn't asking God to give them something that they didn't have. He was asking God to reveal to them what they already have. Oh man, listen, that revelation about God himself, about Jesus himself. Jesus, in his high priestly prayer in John 17:3, said, oh, as he was praying, and this is eternal life, that you may know, that they may know you, not just know about God, not know just about God the Father or Jesus the Son. Know that intimacy, that you may know you, the only true God, and someone else, and Jesus Christ. Loved one, listen, this is more to know Jesus personally. Is more than facts. It's more than going to Bible college. It's more than theology 101 and all those things. No, this is a personal, intimate, you have heard his voice. You know that you're saved. You know that Jesus is alive. It's a divine encounter. It is an experience, loved one. It says in Jeremiah 9:23, God said this, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, nor let the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts in this, that he understands and knows me, that he has a personal relationship with me, that he knows God, that he knows Jesus Christ. Listen, the Bible says those God delights in. Job put it this way in Job 42:5. Job said, you know what? Talking to God, he says, oh, I've heard about you. I've heard about you from the beginning. I've heard about you from the hearing of the ear. But now, pardon me, my eyes, man, they see you. In other words, he just had a divine encounter with the living God. He said, I've heard all about you, but I didn't know you. My mom instructed me, my dad instructed me, but now, I really know who you are. I have a personal experience with you. Now, only Jesus can reveal God the Father to us because he's the truth. Look at the next part of verse 21. As the truth that is in, or literally that resides in Jesus. So Paul moves from Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, to Jesus's human nature, he's 100% God, 100% man, to his humanity. So he uses the name Jesus here. Listen, Jesus is the truth. You remember there before the crucifixion, he was talking to his disciples, and he says, you know, I'm getting ready to leave. And he says, you know where I'm going. And he says, and you know the way that I'm going. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, How can we know? We don't know where you're going. We don't even know the way. How can we know the way? And Jesus said, he said in the sixth I am of Jesus, he said, I am, Thomas, I am the way. There is no other way, not a way. No, I am the way. I am something else. I am the truth. I am not a truth. I am body, perfect truth. The Bible says in John 1:14 that when he came full of grace and full of truth. He is the God-man. Listen, and he said, I am the life. You know, Jesus is the source of all life. You can't find life outside of Christ. And he says, no one, absolutely no one, comes to the Father. No one can make it to heaven without me. No one at all. That's exactly what that scripture, what truth really is. See, Christianity is not some another religion among many. There is only one way to heaven. There is only one name by which man may be saved, and there's only one way to get there. His name is Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 20 again. He says, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him or in him, as is or as the truth is in Jesus, and you put off concerning your former conduct, and you can't do that unless you know, have been taught and learned and heard him. Concerning your former, the old man, and so forth, all the way down where you put on the new man. Now listen carefully. That's what we want in our life. Jesus said, learn from me. Isn't it great to learn from our Lord? You know, listen, to learn from Jesus is to be like Jesus. Remember whenever, I mean, think about the things that Jesus did and how he taught his disciples. Remember in, what was it, Luke's gospel, I think, chapter 11, and the disciples came unto the Lord and said, oh Lord, would you teach us to pray? As John, meaning John the Baptist, taught his disciples to pray. And Jesus said, after this manner, or there, here's the pattern, here's the divine outline. He says, when you pray, say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Listen, and you know the rest of the incredible prayer. See, that's being taught by the Lord. When we read that, we're being taught by the Lord as well. When Jesus says, you know, don't worry. Let me just turn to there. I can listen to what Jesus said. You want to be taught by the Lord? Here it is right now. Now, let's be taught. Let's learn. Let's hear, not just listen. Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, do not worry about your life, what you will wear, what you're going to drink, what you're going to put on, or about your body. He says, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow, they don't or reap, and goes on and on. But our Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add a cubit to your stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Why do you worry about any of these things? Listen, O ye of little faith. Listen, Jesus just taught us. He said, don't worry. Don't be torn apart by this life. Don't let this world pull you apart. Listen, if Jesus is not worried and we're going to live like Jesus and be like Jesus, well then, loved one, we don't have to worry. He didn't say don't plan. He didn't say not to care. He didn't say not to lay up for your children's children, you know, and so forth. He didn't say not to have a 401k, any of that. He said don't worry about anything. We don't live like the Gentiles. We don't live like lost people. We are citizens of heaven. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:9, all things are yours. We are co-heirs with Christ. Now listen, are you listening? Are you hearing? There's a huge difference between that. Jesus told us about prayer. He in Matthew's gospel, he said, listen, ask and it'll be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened. Now that's a promise from the lips of our Savior about prayer. You know, you ask, you have not because you ask not. So are you listening or are you hearing the word of God? Who helps us to pray now? Romans 8:26, the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, listen, loved one. To learn Christ is to be like Christ. And you say, well, Bill, that's a big statement. No, it's not. Listen, when Christ died, we died. When Christ rose, we rose. Whenever he ascended, we ascended with him. Paul the Apostle in Galatians 2:20, what did he say? He said, I've been crucified with Christ. I'm dead. Paul died. Bill died 2,000 years ago. Do you understand? Yes, Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. He says, and the life that I live through the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Yeah, listen, you see, the Bible teaches us as we learn about Christ, we become more like Christ, and we become conformed into his likeness and his image. Listen, Romans 8:29. It says, we've been predestined, picked out, chosen by God, praise the Lord, to be conformed to the image of his Son. We call that sanctification. That's the process. Justification is a one-time act. Sanctification is an ongoing process until the day the believer dies. That work of God in the life of the believer, the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, we call that sanctification. So it says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says that we all, with an unveiled face, just like Moses, we take the veil off of our face and we look into the face of our Lord, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. So Christ reflects his glory into our lives. Christ in me, the hope of glory. And it says, we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the living God. See, sanctification is that lifelong process. Glory to glory to glory, meaning we live like Jesus, we live like Jesus, we live more like Jesus, we live more like Jesus, and as we do that, we're more like our Lord. Remember when the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and they had commanded that the disciples stop preaching in the name of Jesus, they threatened them. And it says that they were marveled. Listen to this in Acts 4:13. And when they, the religious leaders, they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated men. In other words, they weren't trained to be a rabbi or any of that. Untrained men and uneducated men. They marveled. And then it says, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Of course, we know Jesus was still with them at that time. Meaning, even though he was resurrected. So they had been with Jesus. There's not a greater accolade to be given to any believer. Well, you look and say, man, I can tell you've been with the Lord. Listen, Jesus is our teacher. You know, go study Spurgeon. Oh, my God. Billy Sunday. G. Campbell Morgan. They were not instructed in training at all. They're some of the great expositors of God's word that there has ever been. Loved one, listen, you know, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 2:14 and 15, it says, thanks be unto God who always leads us in triumph in Christ Jesus, or always leading us in victory. And then he tells us something. He says, for we are the fragrance of Christ. Think about that. See, we're going from glory to glory to glory, and we smell more like Jesus every time. We look like Jesus, meaning our actions more than any other time, or every time rather, from glory to glory. I told you I needed a prayer this morning. I'm weary and tired, so forgive me. My mind is not working, so if I'm, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't work anyway. But anyway, with all that being said, we are the fragrance of Christ, loved one. What a glorious thing that God looks at us and says, boy, I smell my daughter. I smell my son. I smell just like my son, Jesus Christ. Now, we speak of learning a subject in life. You know, we can go to college and learn certain things, or we speak of learning, today we have all different kinds of things to learn languages. But we are told here in Scripture that we are to learn a person, to learn a person, to watch what he does, to go through the Bible and search things out. And that person is Jesus Christ. Listen, to learn Jesus, you have to renew your mind to God's word. To learn Jesus, you have to get into the Gospels. You have to get into prayer. You have to get into the Spirit. To learn Jesus, though, you have to do something. You have to take his yoke. And to learn Jesus, you have to learn his heart, loved one, or to take his yoke is to also learn and know his heart. See, what breaks the heart of Jesus Christ our Lord should break the heart of his church, because we are his body. We're his body. Loved one, listen, to learn Christ again is that ongoing process of sanctification. But what's so wonderful is Jesus, he bids us to come and learn from him. Remember in Matthew's Gospel 11:28, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest." Here it is. "Take my yoke." Take it. It's a command. "Take my yoke upon you." And listen to these words. "Learn from me. Study me. Watch me. Be like me. For I am gentle, lowly in heart, and you will find rest your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." Jesus said, "Learn from me." You remember in those farming days, the yoke, they would have a set of yokes. One, the older oxen would be on one side, the younger oxen, the untrained, if you will, on the other side. And the younger ox would learn from the ox who had all this experience. Jesus said, "My yoke is light. It's prepared. It fits perfectly around you. Just come with me now. Take my yoke. Let's travel together. You follow me, and I'm going to teach you. I'm going to train you." That's what it means about learning from our Lord. And that yoke that we take really is his heart, the lowly heart of Jesus Christ. We have all these heart lessons that he teaches us. Listen, you look into the heart of Christ, look at the love of Christ, of his own volition. He came to this crummy planet. He died for the sins of the world, and he was the sinless, spotless Son of God. He knew no sin, yet he suffered for us. He bled for us. He died for us. He had a heart that said, "I want to taste death for every person that has ever lived." And he did. And then he defeated the one who had the power over death. That is the devil. Listen, a heart like our Lord, he says, that's the kind of heart that I want you to have. But you have to take his yoke. To take his yoke means you have to get alongside the Lord. And wherever he leads you, you have to go with him. He's training us, all of us. We're all in training, loved one, for reigning. And listen to me now. If we only listen to what I'm saying, if we don't hear what I just said, what Jesus just said, you will never experience, if you don't take his yoke, you'll never experience the heartbeat of Christ. You'll never have that experience in your heart at all. When you look at the life of Jesus, the perfect example he left us, there in the upper room in John's gospel, remember in John 13, Jesus had washed all of the disciples' feet. And he said this, he took up his garments and he sat back down. And Jesus said to them, he's saying to you and me as well, "Do you know, do you understand what I have just done to you?" Amazing. What a searching question from our Lord. In other words, do you understand the meaning of my act? And Jesus said, "You call me teacher and Lord. You call me owner and master. Well, you say well, for so I am. If then I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, Jesus said, that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are literally, oh, how happy to be envied, how fortunate are you if you do them." You're not blessed because you know it. You're blessed because you know it and you do it. That means you just don't listen. It means you hear the word of God and you do the word of God. Jesus gave us an example to every believer, not to wash everybody's feet, because that's not a doctrinal thing in the Bible. What is he saying? He's saying, serve one another. He's given us an example of servanthood, if you will. It's exactly what our Lord is doing. And what is that example? Pick up your towel. We return to church next Sunday. Everybody ought to bring a towel. We're servants of the Lord. Amen. Peter writes about an example of the Lord. He says in 1 Peter 2:21, he says, "For this you recall, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." really follow closely his steps. Now listen, if we're going to learn from Jesus, we have to follow Jesus. We have to follow in his steps. Literally, that's a great picture in the Greek. It's like a little kid who is learning his ABCs. And you know, then how did you learn them? Remember how you would get your pencil and you would trace the A or the S or the T and all that until you finally got it down. That's exactly what this is speaking about here. In other words, we're to trace the steps of our Lord. We are to follow him. He is our divine example, loved one. The Bible tells us that the apostle of love, John, what did he write? In 1 John 2:6, he says, if we say that we abide in him, in Jesus, if we draw strength from him, if we live in union with Jesus, then we ought to walk just as he walked. That's what a great word. In other words, how did Jesus walk? Go study out the scriptures. Wherever he went, he loved people. He, if he did make a judgment, his judgment was perfect. But he walked in love because God is love, loved one. Not only that, he brought life and he brought hope and he brought assurance and he brought healing and miracles and salvation. That's what he did to all that he met. The Bible says that that God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. We're to do the exact same thing. Why? We have taken up his yoke. You see, we're learning from the Lord. We're to do as he did because he's empowered us to do that. So we not only learn the walk of the Lord, we learn also to think like he thinks when we learn from him. The Bible says in Philippians 2:5, when Paul there at the church at Philippi, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's an imperative, loved one. That means it's a commandment. Let me give you another translation. Your attitude should be the same that of Jesus. Pardon me, of Jesus Christ, I'm sorry, I lost it again. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. There it is. In your lives, you must think and act like Christ Jesus. Another one. Now listen, there it is. If you are a believer, don't just listen, hear what the Word of God just said. We are, as believers, we are to think. We are to live. We are to act like only one person, and that person is Jesus Christ our Lord. This is not an option. It is a command to the church. That mind of Christ, the one filled with love and humility and that sacrificial love for others. In other words, if we're going to learn Jesus, we have to learn the way he loved. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That's all about Jesus, really. Listen. We are to, Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye love one another. And by this, the whole world will know that you belong to me, that you're my disciples. See, love is the pinnacle of knowing that a person is really born again, that love of God shed abroad in his heart and so forth. So we need to love people. Jesus loves everyone. He wants everyone to be saved. Jesus said, the Son of Man did not come to condemn the world. He came to seek and save those who were lost. So we learn from him the way he loves. We learn to forgive the way Jesus forgives. You know, whenever they beat him, they put nails in his hand, they blindfolded him and beat his face, the Rome, all the things that they did to our Lord, gambled for his garments and all the rest of it on the cross. What did Jesus say in Luke's gospel about forgiveness? He said, he cried out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If you're going to learn from Jesus, not listening, when you read the scriptures, hear the scripture. Don't just listen to it. Hear it. Hear the word of God. There's only one way that we can do it. To learn Jesus, we have to have eyes only for Jesus Christ. Not for the world. This world is passing away. There is only one way to run the race of faith that is set before us that leads us all the way home. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, gazing, fixing our gaze only upon him, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus is the only one to look at. He's the only one that pleased God the Father. And listen, look to the one who was born of a virgin for you. Look to the one who died for you. Look to the one who rose for you. Look to the one who saved you. Look to the one who is coming again for you. You look to him. And if you have your Bibles open, I want you to look at something with me as we close. I want you to look at chapter 4. You should be in 4, but go to verse 32 with me. And be kind one to another. Jesus is kind. Love is kind, remember? Be kind one to another. Tenderhearted. What a great word. Forgiving one another. How? Even as God in Christ forgave you. Now wait, go to the next verse. Therefore, in other words, therefore goes right back to what I just read. Therefore, since God in Christ has forgiven you, we're to do something. Look at it. We are to be imitators of God, of Christ, as dear children. That word means we are to mimic him. Here in that verse lies the entirety of the New Testament teaching. In other words, this is the new man. This is the perfect man. This is the church made alive. This is the body of Christ who has been filled with him who fills all things. We are to imitate God. Isn't that amazing? We are to imitate God. Why? Because we can imitate God. Why is that? Because we are sons and daughters of God. The Bible says that we have been given the divine nature of God. 2 Peter 1:3, as his divine power is given unto us, all things that pertain to life, all things that pertain to life, all things that pertain to godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, you are partakers of the divine nature. I think the church has, that just goes right over people's heads because they just listen, they don't hear. Bold words, incredible words. Listen, you have the divine nature of God living in you right now. What does that mean? It means that our walk, our lifestyle, our conduct, our entire way of life has been narrowed down to live like one person, and that person is Jesus Christ. There's only one life that we must pattern our life after, and it is our Lord and Savior. To be an imitator of Jesus is to learn Jesus. Do you understand? To be an imitator of Jesus is how we learn Jesus. And only then will we fulfill the rest of the scriptures there by putting off that old corrupt man, that old slave that's in me, and put on the new man created in true holiness and righteousness. Father, we thank you for this word this morning. We thank you for the day that you've given unto us. And Lord, I pray on this Memorial Day weekend, maybe someone listening right now, they don't know you. I pray, I ask them, oh Lord, cry out to Jesus. Just say, Jesus, save me. Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Come live in my heart. And Father, I pray now for the safety of those who may be traveling on this Memorial Day weekend, even in the midst of social distancing. Protect them, bring them home safely. And Lord, this week now, we prepare for the reopening of this church. And Father, I must confess that now for 11 weeks, it has certainly taken a toll. It can make you weary. We are the body of Christ, and how wonderful it'll be, one joint connected to another joint. Oh, Lord, for us to be back together, how I will celebrate that moment. bless your people, bless the sheep of your pasture. And as we gather, Lord, in that next Sunday, 7 days from today, we will close out with God is so good. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. The church says, amen. I will see you next Sunday. Remember, there is no Wednesday.